Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily as I continue to travel this week. Got a lot to go through today, including Tesla's initial rollout of FSD Beta version 11. Very small rollout right now just to employees, but we do have some release notes to talk about as well. We've also got an update from Elon Musk. He was interviewed for the B20/G20 summit in Indonesia. We've got a Tesla crash in China that's been getting a lot of attention, an update on Tesla Solar, and a few other items as well. So looking at the stock today, Tesla down 2.5%, closing at $190.95, the NASDAQ down about 1.1%, so a little bit more of a normal day today, given Tesla's beta. Slight bit of an underperformance, I guess, to that, but not quite as bad as what we have seen in the last few days. We did see a little bit lower volume today as well, 92 million shares traded versus the 100 plus million that we've seen kind of the last 5 days or so. You can still see that is a little bit higher than probably what the average would be. But definitely lower than we've seen in recent days. And Mondays are a little bit higher in general anyway, given the lack of trading over the weekend. Now, of course, the most interesting thing with the stock today is whether or not Elon Musk did end up selling. We talked about how the Form 4s were expected Friday, if there were going to be any. My bad on that. I'd forgotten that that was Veterans Day, so the holiday. I remembered that it was Veterans Day, but forgot that the Edgar system would be closed for that holiday on Friday. So that gives an extra day, which then, since it's business days only, carries into today. So that got punted till today in terms if there were going to be any from Wednesday. And I'm sitting here, as you can see, refreshing. We should be past the deadline now, and there are no Form 4s as of yet. So if we look at that volume, I can't remember which day was Wednesday here, I think the 9th, where we had 128 million shares traded, which was after Elon disclosed on the 8th that some shares had been sold, and then high volume for the following 3 days. Doesn't look like that was driven by Elon. So I'm a little bit hesitant to say that is a certainty. Obviously, we could still see selling that happened on Thursday or Friday. And we may, you know, it's not impossible that there could be a delay and we could see Form 4s later tonight, especially with that holiday on Friday. Maybe some extra buildup would cause that. But as of right now, as I'm recording, which again should be past the deadline, it doesn't look like we had any selling from Elon past Tuesday last week. So as I talked about previously, when we had that episode on Wednesday, you know, you could be seeing a big buyer that saw the Form 4 from Elon on Tuesday and said, hey, I'm done with this, and liquidated their position. You could have short sellers taking advantage of the uncertainty around Elon Musk possibly continuing to sell, putting a huge sell order into the market and then just covering it in small chunks later, but driving a big red candle down to make it look like Elon is selling and drive more selling. So there's a lot of possibilities there that could have happened last week. It's impossible to know what they would have been, but as of right now, it doesn't look like it was from Elon selling, which I think should be taken as good news. You could look at it and say, well, Tesla's been underperforming then for some other reason. But again, if that's just another big investor that's out of their position, ultimately, does that impact the long-term prognosis for Tesla? No, Elon selling doesn't really do the same thing either. So although we do spend a lot of time on this and it has a huge impact in the short term, ultimately, probably not too big of a deal. All right, that being said, let's get into the rest of the news here. So we do have some general market comments, first on the Fed. So we've got comments from Fed President Waller. I can't remember which, or he's Fed Reserve Governor Waller. Can't remember which state he's from, but basically saying that the next meeting could see a softening in their commitment to continue to raise rates. We've also got Vice Chair Brainard today saying that it might be appropriate to soon move slower pace into rate hikes. She also said that need to continue raising rates ultimately, but that we could just see a little bit of a slower rate of increase. So not terribly surprising given the CPI, obviously the stock market down today despite these comments. So I think a lot of that already priced in. But if we look at the most recent CME Fed Group Watch tool here, or CME Group Fed Watch tool here, we can see that expectations over the last couple of days have increased for a 50 basis point increase rather than a 75 basis point increase, significantly from where they were a month ago. It's about 70-30, now it's about 80-20, I guess about 30-70, and now it's about 80-20 in favor of 50 basis point rate increases. So expectations there definitely slowing down, but ultimately, of course, possibly getting to a higher rate, which was kind of alluded to at the last meeting. Moving on from the rates, though, we will see an update to the producer price index tomorrow morning. So, of course, we had the CPI last week. This will kind of be the next layer of that. Could be, again, positive news. hopefully it kind of supports the trend that we saw with CPI, which where if we took out food, shelter, and housing, we actually saw a month-over-month decline. So it'll be interesting to see how the producer price index, or PPI, compares tomorrow. All right, getting into the Tesla news, we've got a huge update on Friday, last episode, that Tesla has started to roll out FSD version 11. Of course, that was on 11:11 Pacific time, PM, on 11:11 Veterans Day. So looks like this is now starting to go out. There have been some release notes that did leak. And the first bullet point here is that this does enable FSD beta on highway. So unifying the vision and planning stack on and off highway, replacing the legacy autopilot stack that we've got today. So this has been coming for, you know, we've been expecting this soon for the majority of this year. And it's great. It's awesome to finally see this start to roll out. I would say be mentally prepared for some regression in some areas as Tesla is converting over this model again that they've been running for 4 years. But hopefully this allows them to ultimately take things to the next step. And, you know, maybe we don't see a regression if Tesla's had this in testing long enough. But I'm just kind of mentally preparing myself for that. But super excited to see them take this next step. Again, long time coming throughout this year. They also note in one of the release notes that we can see here, I think there was maybe a second page as well. I don't have that one, but improved the occupancy network recall. So basically accuracy for close by objects and precision in severe weather conditions with a 4x increase in transformer spatial resolution, 20% increase in image featurizer capacity, improved side camera calibration, and 260,000 more video training clips. So real world and simulation for those clips. So super excited about FSD version 11. Elon did say that this is not going to actually include ASS or actually Smart Summon. So he did say that that is probably going to come next month. Hopefully that doesn't turn into a situation like we were, like we've been in for full stack, where we're kind of just waiting perpetually one more month up until now throughout this year. But I'm super excited for actually Smart Summon as well. And hopefully we'll see that pretty soon. Unfortunately, not in a version 11. Elon did say that given all that is in version 11, it's going to take a few weeks to expand the beta. Again, right now, just a very small subset of employees. I don't even think it's to the full usual FSD beta employee release group that we tend to see. It seems a little bit more isolated. So should be probably a little bit slower rollout than what we tend to see from version updates. So a few weeks to expand it, and then another few weeks to go wide release to US and Canada. Again, the uncertainty here with wide release, like we have all the time, does that mean wide release to the current beta fleets, or truly wide release where anybody that has purchased FSD would have access? So kind of still an open question on that. I assume as we get towards the end of the year here that Tesla's probably going to try to push it true wide release to anyone that's purchased in North America before the end of the year. I think that's got to be their target. Tesla always likes to do a big software update for the holiday. I would imagine that is what they are pushing for. He did say that the rollout is going to broaden every week, so just kind of reiterating that other tweet. All right, next up, moving on from version 11, we do have an interview from Elon Musk at the B20 or G20 summit in Indonesia. So this, I believe, yesterday or today. My days are running a little bit together with the traveling, but Elon on here talking about Indonesia in general, investment interest there. Obviously, they talked a little bit about nickel and the supply that Indonesia has. Honestly, not a lot to take away from this. You know, I listened to it. It's only 20 minutes or so. And I think just a couple of bullet point notes that I've got here on this interview. You know, Elon saying that right now he's working the most amount possible from morning till night, 7 days a week. He mentioned that, of course, nickel, important for battery energy density, long-term for electric aircraft. Not anything specific to Tesla, just kind of, you know, threw that out there. No surprise, we've heard him say that before. And then long-term, he did say that it'd make sense to have SpaceX launch pads around the world when the question about Indonesia being a launch site was asked by the moderator for SpaceX. Of course, that kind of makes sense because Indonesia is on the equator from a launch perspective. Elon not committing to that, but just saying, yeah, it's going to make sense to have launch pads around the world, like we've heard him say before. All right, next here, we've got a couple of things on, I guess one thing here on China. So many of you may have seen this. It's not the most pleasant video to watch, but a Tesla vehicle that seemed unable to be able to stop, kind of pulled off to the side of the road and then accelerated and just kind of kept going. Unfortunately, caused a couple of fatalities and some injuries in China. So there's a long video here. It's, you know, it's not the most pleasant thing to watch, so I'm not going to play it, but Tesla has replied to this. It definitely seems like a case of unintended acceleration, again, like we have seen from Tesla many times, or, you know, not from Tesla many times. Let me correct that, make that clear. We have seen people claim against Tesla vehicles many times. There has yet to be any proven cases of that. Of course, this has happened in the United States as well. NHTSA last year came out and said that every single instance of that was not the vehicle's fault, rather driver error. I would imagine that, as kind of ridiculous as it seems from the video, that is likely the case again in this instance. So Tesla said that, you know, the brake lights are not on in the video, so the brake probably not being deployed. They say that they have no record of the brakes being hit. Tasmanian here also sharing some similar statement, saying, according to the company, its back-end data showed that the vehicle's accelerator pedal was depressed deeply for a long time, remained at 100% at one point. The driver did not apply the brakes for the entire 2 kilometers where it was kind of speeding out of control. Did say that the driver pressed the parking button on the stock 4 times. But of course, if the vehicle's in drive, you know, at a rate of speed, that's not going to do anything. So I would imagine that this is likely a case of misapplication. You know, the brakes in Tesla vehicles are mechanical brakes. So if you're pressing them, it's going to certainly slow the vehicle down, kind of regardless of what's going on with any software or any possible malfunction there, which of course is kind of the claim. So, you know, again, as concerning as it looks and as strange as it looks, I think the most likely scenario is the driver misapplying to the accelerator rather than the brake, or you never know, maybe something from the vehicle format, something else causing the accelerator to stick. But you would assume that if it's not, you know, no action made on the brake, that would probably not be the case. So an interesting one, but probably ultimately not something that is Tesla's responsibility or fault. All right, next year we've got an update on California vehicle sales. So we get these every quarter. And as we talked about last quarter, Tesla, the Model 3 and the Model Y had actually moved to become the top selling vehicles in California, not just electric vehicles, any vehicle at all. We see that continue here in Q3 with the year-to-date Model Y registrations. Lost my spot here, but they are the best. Both the Model 3 and the Model Y on top, if I can find them. I've got to be able to find this. Okay, so Model Y at 61,500 year to date, 51% of the luxury compact SUV category. And then the Model 3, which somewhere else on this sheet. there it is, in gray. 56,851 vehicles registered so far year to date. So tops vehicles like the Camry at 40,000, the Toyota RAV4 at 44,000. Again, this is second quarter that we have seen Tesla in this position, so very exciting news to reiterate, but again, not the first time. If we look at the updated year-to-date market share figures, Tesla has moved into second, so they've got about 11% share right now in California out of the total vehicle market. Again, not just electric vehicles. Toyota in first place at 17%, but Tesla up 63% year-to-date, Toyota down here at down 21% year-to-date. So if those trends continued, I'd have to run the numbers on it, but if those trends continue for one more year, I think Tesla would probably end up in that top spot. But the growth might be a little bit outsized this year, of course, as Tesla has shifted their priorities a little bit, not exporting anymore versus in 2020, or rather in 2021, they would have been exporting more from Fremont. So that's helping the figures here this year. All right, next up, we've got a report from the Green NCAP. So, you know, of course, the NCAP doing safety testing, as well as looks like green vehicle testing as well, or emissions testing, and the Model 3 getting a 5-star rating from them. No surprise on that, but still really nice to see. Tesla put a blog post out about this today, and they noted that in the highway test, the Model 3 received the highest score from the Green NCAP efficiency test of any vehicle to date. So, again, not necessarily super surprising that Tesla would score well on this, of course, but still nice to see that it's the, you know, the highest vehicle ever tested in that highway efficiency test. So congrats to Tesla for that accomplishment. And the next year, we've got a bit of an update on a solar story that we had talked about last week. Of course, Electrek had reported that some customers had reached out, notifying them that Tesla had canceled their solar installation. And it seemed like that was happening in quite a few very prominent regions, so LA, Washington, Oregon, and you know, kind of left some open questions about what Tesla was doing with the solar installation team. Tesla, maybe not coincidentally, tweeting out on Friday that they are growing their installation, they're installing solar and Powerwall teams across the United States. So if we look at these job listings, we can see that they've got solar installer job listings on here, solar and storage installers. So it does look like Tesla is continuing to grow this. As for why those, you know, why those customers had canceled projects in those areas, still an open question, but at least we can see here that Tesla is still, it seems to be, you know, at least putting resources into that area of the business. So I wanted to provide an update on that. And then just a few more things here from Elon. So of course, there's been a lot of Twitter stuff going on over the weekend. If you've been following that, a lot of tweets to get through from Elon. So we'll just hit a couple of those more prominent ones here that are relevant, more relevant to us. But Elon saying he's been at Twitter, San Francisco headquarters all night. This was, I believe, this morning. So overnight on Sunday. We'll be working and sleeping here until the organization is fixed. So, you know, not the most exciting thing to see as, you know, a Tesla shareholder, but as we've talked about, this is going to be the most painful period of time for this Twitter transition as Elon kind of gets this figured out. And then, as he has said, hopefully over time that workload becomes a lot less significant. Elon is saying that he does have Tesla covered too, so at least nice to have that acknowledgement. And he will be there part of this week. somebody did ask that, hey, Elon, shareholders for Tesla have been Hulk smashed recently. Can you start doing the buyback? And Elon said that this is up to the Tesla board. Obviously, Elon has influence on that, but that's his response for now. When they originally talked buyback, said that that was probably something that would be a 2023 thing. So Tesla may be waiting it out. Obviously, Elon feels like there's still going to be recessionary impacts for, you know, the next 6 to 12 months or something like that. So Tesla may be waiting until some of those things start to look a little bit better. The other thing kind of on Twitter, SpaceX has been reported to have done a big ad campaign on Twitter, or just recently purchased a big ad campaign last week. Elon noting that this is tiny, not a large ad package to test effectiveness of Twitter advertising in Australia and Spain, did the same for Facebook, Instagram, and Google. So not isolated just to Twitter. And this big ad package is, you know, they say that CNBC reports that a package like this, according to former employees that they spoke with, generally would cost about $250,000 or more. So in the grand scheme of things, obviously not all that significant from an ad spend perspective. All right, next year we've got just a report which I think shed some light on something that we've talked about on various occasions over the years with you know, credit ratings and things like that, conflicts of interest, maybe at banks. The SEC has charged S&P Global with conflict of interest violations. These occurred over a five-day period in August 2017, so a long time ago. I think they were fined, like, honestly, I think it was like $2 million, $2.5 million, so it's hard. I don't even know that I would call that a slap on the wrist. That's just like it's more of like a processing fee than anything else. So an embarrassingly low amount of money. But the SEC has charged them with that violation again from 5 years back. So just kind of an eye opener for people that, you know, may assume that there are not things like that happening from time to time. Kind of a downer story to end on. So the last thing that was rather, so I replaced it with this. But the last thing here, just kind of a nice shot of some few Quicksilver Model Ys that are at Giga Berlin. So of course, these should begin shipping pretty soon. Looks like Tesla's kind of started production of them in earnest. We did see that one that popped up as sort of a display vehicle, but these now showing up on Giga Berlin's lot. So it'll be exciting to see those start to hit customers' hands over the next, hopefully, couple of weeks. All right, I think that is it for today. Got a little bit longer than I wanted to, but we the schedule for the rest of this week does remain a little bit up in the air. I do have that conference that I need to go to tomorrow. So if I can maybe squeak in an episode, I will. It just kind of depends on what else is going on and what the news is. So we'll see on that. Hopefully we'll have an episode Wednesday and then back to normal later this week. But just keep that in mind for the schedule for the rest of this week. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow we may see you tomorrow. We may see you Wednesday for the next episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.